recording a podcast.
Okay.
Alright.
So, I'm Saqib. This is Anwar.
Anwar, yeah.
And you are?
I guess that's
Anik.
So, we're three Pakistani-American guys. This podcast is called More Calls, Please. And the reason why it's called that is because our conversations will be formatted in a way that it sounds just like we're at a shisha restaurant. Because these conversations that we have them at shisha restaurants. And we always end up saying, asking more calls, please. And we actually have shishas right now, as you can hear.
So you can pretend like we're actually at a shisha restaurant.
That's a good shisha. So, Saqib, I work in IT. Anwar, what do you do for a living?
I am a dentist.
Anik, what do you do for a living?
Insurance.
Insurance. Very, very fun jobs. So we're just going to talk as if we're at a shisha restaurant. We're going to ignore the microphone. And
you don't
just
have to, like, say we're
going to
ignore the microphone.
I'm telling the microphone.
Are you really ignoring it if you say that you're going to ignore it?
I'm telling the microphone. Microphone, I'm going to ignore you. Okay, so.
Elephant in the room. There's no elephant in the room.
Stop talking
Promise.
About elephant.
In,
Promises
in the
no
sense
elephant.
That, in the sense that there are no Republicans in the room, I think. Anik, are you a Republican?
I am independent, sir.
So what do
you
mean
Are you registered
by...
independent?
What's up?
You're registered independent?
You have to register to be independent?
To vote, you have to register.
Just politically, like my viewpoints, my political, it's independent. I'll put it that way.
What are you
registered? I'm not registered or anything. I voted Democrat in the last election. When I was younger, if I could have voted, I would have voted Republican.
So
Bush ran.
Let me ask you this. Why are you independent? Like, why not just a Democrat?
So I think just in general, you have to be open-minded. You have to listen to the different viewpoints. And both sides can have good viewpoints, right? You don't have to be so narrow-minded to say, I am just this or I'm just that. Like, any, like, intelligent person, in my opinion, should have the ability to listen to different viewpoints and pick the one that they agree with the most.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you might agree more Democrat, sometimes you might agree more Republican. But to just label yourself as one of the two, that's not something that
so I also, for a long time, and still now to an extent, I dislike labels, just like you, right?
Okay.
So, but I find myself just ending up agreeing with Democrats,
okay,
regardless of...
So you don't agree with Republicans on anything?
I mean, so like...
There's a lot of Democrats, though, that will agree with Republicans on certain issues.
Yeah, so
I mean, just because you're a Democrat doesn't mean that you're not going to have some certain viewpoints which, you know, differ from the larger Democrats.
I'm just against the whole, like, voting strictly along party lines thing.
So this is what ends up happening with me. I go and I try to go in every debate or every issue, every election or whatever, with an open mind. But I end up voting straight party Democrat. Just because either the Republicans come off as insane, like over-the-top racist. And they always do this, like, during the mid-season or when there's not an election, they can come off as reasonable.
You mean bigoted, not necessarily insane? Or do you...
No, you're right. Bigoted, not medically or clinically insane.
So here's my thing, though. When you go and vote, you vote straight Democratic, right? Like, you pick that option on the voting machine that says, okay,
yeah,
that's my issue. Like, you know, like, in the last election, for example, you knew McCain or whoever the Republican was, you knew his stance, and you were voting against that. But did you really know, from that level down, the local Republican stance?
Or did you just vote
straight Democratic because of Obama? And then
no,
you just assumed that all of the other Democrats locally agreed with...
So I try to cast a vote in every level of election, right? Regardless of whether I know or not. Now, I don't know about specific candidates, but I know about the parties. And generally speaking, where they fall on certain issues.
Well, they have like a party platform. I mean, they actually outline what the Democratic Party represents, what the Republican Party represents.
So just on a platform basis, I end up agreeing with Democrats. Perhaps it's because it's been explained better to me from their point of view. But, I mean, it just sounds like everything the Democrats say fits better. And they just come off as more reasonable. So, for example, like, well, what's the dichotomy? It's like big government versus small government, right? That actually means nothing to me. Like, it doesn't... I want a party that will use the government. And I feel like Republicans are just anti-using the government for anything. Just on a principle basis. And I just find... I mean, where's the discussion in that? Like, you're saying, like, this Leviathan, this huge institution that can just... excuse me, do so much good and make so many people's lives better and, you know, make the country a better place and, you know, everybody had to have a better life, better standard of living. We're just not going to use it at all. And everything will be based on the market. I don't, you know, that's not a good enough answer for me.
I mean, I think that, like, part of the thing is, like, Republicans would say, why would you put it in the hands of the government? I mean, the government can be corrupt just like corporations can be corrupt.
Not just corrupt, but inefficient.
Inefficient.
That's what Republicans say.
Yeah.
If you leave it to the government, it's inefficient, it's better off in a private market.
Right. Plus, you're telling people what to do. Like, that's another big thing that Republicans... I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I mean, I agree with you, but, I mean, that's kind of what I think.
Well, if you think the government should be involved in everything, like the whole thing in New York that happened a year or two back, where they made the law that said that you couldn't sell a soda that was above a certain, like, ounce, 40 ounce or whatever. Do you agree with that? Do you agree for the government to step in and say, no, you should not do this?
And no, and it was... No, I don't.
Okay.
But at the same time, it was the courts, which is a government institution, that that denied that ruling. So that's government fixing the problems of government. Now, I'm not saying that government has the answer to, like, everything, and you should just drop everything and leave the answer to the government. But the government, like corporations, are run by people, highly educated people. There are some jobs that I know because I know people that work for the government. They're just doing it. They just want a paycheck and they want to reach retirement. That's it. And those people end up not having, like, advanced careers in the government. But those aren't policymakers. And the people who are policymakers, they're very ambitious people, and they strive for betterment.
But if your opinion is that the government is for good and it can step in, it can make laws, and it should help, and it should, all that, like, the question I always ask you, where do you draw the line? Like, at what point do you say, no, this is too much for the government to get involved in, this should be a matter of personal decision?
Mm-hmm.
At what point do you draw the line?
Can you give me an example?
Like that example, the soda example, do you think that the government should force you not to drink more than a certain amount because it's not healthy?
No, I don't.
Do you think the government should force you not to smoke because it's not healthy?
No.
Okay. So at some point you do say that it's not the government's responsibility to get involved.
No, but what I'm saying is that this institution, within its institution, are the tools to correct itself.
Correcting something that maybe shouldn't have happened in the first place. Like, if you just leave it, like, let's say, for example, seatbelts. Do you think it should be a law that you have to wear a seatbelt?
Yeah.
Why? What's the difference between that and smoking?
Well, so, I mean, smoking is like a long-term detriment to one's health. You know, a seatbelt...
So you think the government shouldn't tell you that you have to wear your seatbelt?
I'm not sure where I stand on it, but I just threw it out there as an example. In my opinion, I would actually lean towards no, that they shouldn't. Like, it should be a matter of personal decision. Like, if you're stupid... and you don't want to wear a seatbelt, and you want to risk your life while you're driving...
Social Darwinism.
You're going to injure yourself, just like if you're going to smoke, just like if you're going to whatever.
I can get on board with that when you're the only person who's affected by it.
Right,
but
you,
like,
are.
Putting your kid in a car seat is an example of, you know, I can see that...
So that's different. That's
negligence. In my opinion, the government has to step in. Because, like, there's one thing is, like, you're going to do something to harm yourself. So, like, for me, I don't think the government should tell you you can't smoke. I think that doesn't make any sense. But I think the government should be able to tell you can't smoke in a restaurant, in a building, in a public place where there are people who haven't made that decision for themselves.
Right.
I mean, I don't think the government should be able to tell you can't smoke in your own home or in your own backyard. I mean, if it's going to affect other people, then I see the point in the government stepping in.
So, like, the whole sin tax and stuff on cigarettes, you're against that?
So, no, here's the thing.
Because
the government
is de-incentivizing smoking by charging an extra...
forbidding. Like,
well, it's basically the same thing. They're saying it's wrong and we're going to penalize you for doing it.
Here's another way to look at it, right? People who smoke have much higher health care costs. That's just a scientific fact. So, I mean...
And they pay more into the health care costs as well, right? They have higher insurance premiums.
Right, but that's a decision based on the market. That's not a government. Right? That's a free market.
But there are a lot of people...
Well, that's like the insurance companies or whatever that determine your premiums.
Most of the
money... You're at higher risk, so they charge higher premiums.
But that's,
they do,
that's
but
not,
it doesn't
that's
cancel
government.
Out. Like, it drives up everyone's premiums. Like, when healthcare is used more, it drives up everyone's premiums. Not just the people who have... Yeah, their premiums are going to be higher than people who don't smoke. But the people who don't smoke, premiums are going to go up too. And the overall cost of healthcare for the whole country is going to go up significantly because of smoking. So should the government...
But it will also
that.
Go up if you eat too many burgers, which are not healthy, and you have heart issues. Should they also de-incentivize eating burgers?
I think that, in general, I'm okay with incentivizing a healthy lifestyle. I mean, but when it gets to food, it gets really hard to say because, like, okay, food, you have to eat, right? You don't have to smoke. So there's a big difference there. And then, like, eating a burger here and there is not going to drive up the cost of healthcare, you know, and even smoking here and there is not. But I mean, you know, just because somebody eats a burger one time doesn't mean that, you know, I don't know, it's harder to sort of quantify. Because you have to.
I just think in general, it should be across the board a matter of personal decision. I'm the same way with marijuana, same way with cigarettes, same way with seatbelts, same with anything
else for kids.
That's different. Because
how is it different?
So you're responsible for that kid, you're responsible for their safety. If you're doing something to put them in danger, then it's something that you should be held accountable for.
Right.
But if it's just yourself, that's different. So, like, if you're in a car and you don't wear a seatbelt, that's your decision, you're an idiot. If you don't put your kid in a car seat, well, yeah, that's something that you should get a ticket for.
What if insurance companies say that they're not going to pay for your health costs, your bills, your medical bills, because you were in an accident if you weren't wearing a seatbelt? Is that fair?
Silence.
I don't know. An insurance company should have the ability to... I think in that case, the insurance company would raise your rate. So if you get into an accident and if you have a medical cost that was because you didn't wear a seatbelt, they're going to raise your rate.
Let's say you lose a couple limbs, you have to go through physical therapy for the rest of your life, prostheses, millions of dollars go into your treatment. There's no way you're going to be paying that much in premiums. Then what? I mean, the cost is going to go for everybody else.
So that happens all the time anyways. I mean,
yeah, so
you have catastrophic losses that insurance pays for.
Should the government allow insurance companies to not cover people?
Because you do something dumb? I mean, if you're smoking in your house and you fall asleep, the cigarette falls over, it lights a fire, the house burns to the ground, your insurance is going to pay for it. That's a $200,000-$400,000 loss that your premiums will never recover for the insurance company. But it is still something that they pay for. I mean, things like that happen where insurance companies aren't able to collect premium to pay for the whole amount.
Let's think now on a national scale. Let's assume that half the country decides that they don't need to wear seatbelts, or they're not going to wear seatbelts. And then accidents start happening, okay? Insurance companies just say flat out, no. Like, we're not going to pay this out. Now, you have all these, let's say, tens of thousands of people every year now who are in critical, like, they're in bad shape. They're, you know, what is it? They're just handicapped, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it just be a smarter answer? Like, thinking from the outside in, you'd be like, why doesn't the government just make everyone wear a seatbelt? Problem solved.
That's my question. At what point do you draw the line and say, you could say that about everything. Well, why doesn't the government just do this? Why doesn't the government just make more than a certain amount of calories in a burger illegal? Why doesn't the government just, you know...
Yeah,
doesn't the government regulate and say you have to sleep 8 hours a day because it's more healthy? Why doesn't, you know... You could say that about every single
right,
topic.
Right, so we're talking about the government as if it's this independent institution or this alien institution that doesn't respond to the demands of its citizens.
Which is not too far off of a description, but...
Well, in some ways, sir, in foreign policy, I don't think it listens to
why
people.
Is that, though? Why don't they represent what the people say?
Maybe it's like
because
there's lack of engagement.
Or is that a problem because of big money?
Big money.
Because of capital,
yeah. Lobbyist groups. You have these special interests.
To go back to your point, okay, so now if the government is on some basis, at least on local, on like kitchen table issues, responding to the demands of its citizens, then it's demanding to, you know, to the people who argue against things too. So for example, what I'm trying to say is it's people making these demands to the government, and then it's people arguing against those demands too. And then you have this institution that kind of weighs the issues in front of it and makes the decision based on what those elected representatives think, you know, the voices of their people have said. Silence, please. Does that make sense? It's not like this foreign institution that makes decisions all on its own. Like, we have state government, we have the federal government, we have city government. So they're all listening to its constituents.
This is why it's good that there are, you know, there is a Republican Party and a Democratic Party, because then people crazy like me who say you shouldn't eat, you know, some double bacon cheese Whopper, you know, won't be able to tell you not to eat it, even though I know you wouldn't eat it, right?
That's not the case, because if you have enough votes, you can make me not eat it. you can pass the law.
So what's wrong with that? Like, if, I mean...
No. But then there's an independent judiciary.
What's wrong with me wanting to eat something and
hold on.
If the society as a whole has made the decision to do this thing, it's not hurting you to not have bacon on your burger.
It's a matter of free will. It's a matter of choice.
That's why there's an independent judiciary that will decide if it's overreaching. Or if it's based on like an arbitrary, the state court of New York ruled against Bloomberg's ruling against, you know, nothing more than 16 ounce or 32 ounce, whatever, because they said that number you came up with is arbitrary. It's not based on anything. So you can't just say, you know, oh, 32 is too much, 30 is enough.
But my point is, even if you can, and you decide, hey, the exact amount is 29.76 ounces, anything more than that is not healthy and detrimental to your health. Even then, if I want to go out and have a 30-ounce drink, it should not be an issue. I should be able to do that.
It's not.
But that's my question. If you keep saying that the government can help, the government can do this, the government should step in and should help, well, then I think there's a snowball effect there or a slippery slope there.
No.
You start to like, okay, well, they could help here too. Oh, well, it could help here too.
But the balance is there. The balance is there because there are institutions within the government that check for its overreaching.
I mean, what about the opposite of that? Like, you take the government out of everything. How do you improve society? How do you improve the health of society?
So government should have certain basic, you know, responsibilities.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess it's where you draw the line to somewhere, obviously. So, I mean...
I would draw the line much higher. The government can do certain, like, you know, basic things, healthcare. Obviously, that should be an issue that the government, you know, helps with. But when it gets to the smaller side, the minor things,
well,
that's
things
what it
are connected,
be
though.
Off.
These things are connected. Let's say that there's a health hazard.
Completely directly connected.
Yeah.
You're obese, and you smoke, your chances of...
The government looks at your record and says, bullshit, man, this guy is like, we could save so much money if people like him just change their lifestyle. That's it.
Okay, and we could save so much money if people didn't eat McDonald's. Should we not have McDonald's? That's what I'm saying.
No,
I mean,
but
like, you can lower healthcare costs by doing a lot of things.
Ways that it can be done without being so intrusive. Like, there's, what about the government forcing restaurants to put the amount of calories on the menu of every item?
I think that's reasonable,
like, oh,
because you are requiring the information to be out there. Like, labels, that's one thing. But then saying you can't eat something, that's different.
Yeah,
if I can make an educated decision because the labeling is proper, that's great.
So
let me make that decision.
Wasn't there a ruling recently that trans fat is no longer allowed in fruits?
I haven't heard about that.
Okay, it was something based off like there's just no way to digest it or it doesn't metabolize in a efficient, normal manner.
I haven't heard about anything
about it. Something like that. I don't know. I don't feel like taking the phone out. But
yeah, I mean, I agree with you. There's a potential for a slippery slope, yeah. But, I mean, the government has to do something somewhere, you know. So it's just a matter of, I think that's why the whole democratic process exists, is to find that balance that society's okay with. And some people are always going to not be okay with it. Some people are always going to be not okay that people are allowed to go and have horrible, you know, horrible health choices.
And I would lean on that side. I would lean on the side of that society that is okay with
making their own decision. My point is, there's always going to be somebody in society who's not happy with what the government's doing. Because everybody has a different opinion of everything. Obviously, we in the room have different opinions of how far the government should go in regulating the health of the society. So, I mean, you can't really get rid of... There's no society where you can get rid of that.
No, but even these range of discussions happen within the institutions of the government. And there are systems in place, like the courts, for example, that prohibit the government from overreaching its bounds. Like the example you gave of the 32-ounce cup. So that's an example of the government correcting itself.
But they didn't correct themselves with seatbelts. There are other things that they regulate, which
haven't
been
corrected. So you think they should
hurt
themselves with seatbelts?
No, I think they did, and I think that's the correction.
What's the correction? You have to wear a seatbelt.
Yeah, that's, you know,
that's the correction of the government. So that, okay.
I disagree with you very strongly that is overreaching for the government, to require people to wear seatbelts. I just fundamentally disagree with that. Because if you're that stupid, like, that, you, I mean, you really should not be allowed to do whatever you want. in that regard.
So if you're that stupid, then you shouldn't be allowed to vote. Should we have an IQ test before you vote?
No, but you're saying
if you're that stupid...
I didn't say you couldn't voice your opinion.
If you're that stupid to make bad decisions, then we should limit your ability to do
so.
What
bad decision?
No.
You're riding in a car without a seatbelt where you can fly out of the car. The chances of dying are extremely high.
Yeah.
I mean, why shouldn't the government step in and say, hey, this is not allowed? I mean, the government is the one that licenses you, that gives you the privilege to drive a car, right? You have to be licensed
roads.
By the government.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what's wrong with them saying, okay, we'll give you this privilege, but to have that privilege, you have to do certain things to fulfill that, you know, to keep that privilege. What's wrong with that? If you drive drunk, they're going to take away your license.
Right, because you're putting other people's lives at risk.
But yeah, I mean,
yeah.
But the thing is, like, what's wrong with the government saying you have to fulfill certain criteria to maintain this privilege?
Is it a privilege, like being able to drive, being able to...
Yeah, because it can be taken away.
Move from one place to the other.
Yeah, I mean, these roads are owned by the government.
So you should just stay in your house.
No, hold on. The roads
are
owned by the
government.
You should put your seatbelt on, that's all it is.
No, but you're saying that it's a privilege to, like, freely move from one place to the other. That's a privilege.
To drive a car.
I mean, it's...
There's a difference between going from one place to another and driving a car.
Well, hold on. It's a right to drive a car, okay?
Is it a right, though? Because it can be taken away?
No.
Can your rights be taken away?
Given that you fulfill
your
certain
requirements...
Yeah, your
right to vote can be taken away if you're a felon.
No, hold on. Given that you fit certain requirements, then you have this right. If you violate those requirements, then that right can be taken away.
And no one's going to take away your privilege to drive. You're just going to be penalized for it. It's like you sign up for that. You're like in Florida. I don't know about here. When you sign your driver's license, you literally are signing something saying that you consent to a breathalyzer test if you're pulled over. So, like, if I deny it, then theoretically, I don't know if that's how they do it or not, but theoretically they could take away your license. Because you are agreeing to abide by the rules that have been set for that specific thing to do this specific thing. And when you do it, you don't, then you're penalized for it. How is that wrong?
It's the government's roads. I mean, they maintain it. I mean,
the government's everything. I mean, at that point, like...
Yeah, I mean, we have this social contract with the government that we pay our taxes, and they kind of do these things, and they kind of make us follow the rules because we've determined that it's better for society as a whole. Even if I personally disagree with this rule or that rule or whatever, but as a whole, we accept this as part of, like, the American social contract. Because it's better for society overall.
If you disagree with it, you have the right to go ahead and lobby the government and try and get that law changed. I mean, that's what we have the democratic process for.
And I'm not saying the democratic process is bad. I'm saying that I would lean on the side of the democratic process that would lobby against the government being too involved.
Here's something interesting then. Okay, so of the people running for president right now, you like Bernie Sanders the most, right?
I do. Yeah.
Okay, Bernie Sanders is probably the most... pro-government or, like, more government, I should say.
Yeah, he is.
So how do you reconcile that?
So I don't agree with everything that Bernie Sanders says. I don't agree with everything the Democratic Party says. There's a lot of things where I feel like they're doing too much and they should be less involved in people's lives.
My only
thing is that I am so against everything the Republican Party says. It really doesn't take much on the Democratic side for me to be like, yeah, I'm probably going to vote Democratic.
I feel like if the Republicans would just tone down the open bigotry and condescending tone towards...
My dad was an avid, like, Bill O'Reilly fan until 9/11.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then it's like all of a sudden, like, why? Like, I'm a Muslim. Like, why the hell would I vote for a Republican?
Yeah.
I mean, like, even if I, you know, maybe my political leanings would have been different had it not been like
this
ever since I was in high school. That because I'm a Muslim, like, the Republican Party hates me, so why the hell should I vote for them? You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're openly saying things, you know, like the Donald Trump thing, like some guys, like, you know, we have a problem in this country called Muslims.
Yeah.
You know, when are we going to get rid of them?
And he's like, we're looking into that. We're looking into that?
Yeah.
Really? Like, how am I supposed... And this guy is running... He's the front runner for this party? Like, who, why the hell would I vote for these people?
And that
why
just,
the hell would I agree with anything they have to say after that?
That just shows you... Okay, and nobody... I mean, I remember there was, like, one guy in that audience that he was making, like, a no, no.
The one, like, sane person in the entire audience just, like, shaking
like,
his head.
And, like,
there were no,
know,
like, boos or anything. It was just, like, silence. And I don't think Trump, like, supported it, but the way he just was, like, neutral with his response,
or
he could have been a little bit more like, no, no,
see,
no, that's
I mean,
not what we're talking
I,
about.
I agree with you that, like, he just felt in that moment that and the best way to deal with the situation was to not confirm anything and not say anything of substance and just say, we're looking into that and we're looking into a lot of other things.
He did kind of, like, downplay it or downgrade or whatever, you know, he did kind of make that comment of, like, really, this has to be the first question?
Yeah.
Like, he did kind of, like, say how ridiculous it was.
But this just shows, like, how desensitized we've become as Muslims to bigotry towards us. That, like, I mean, how is it not expected of him that he should he should shut that guy down right there? Like, no, we don't have a problem that's called Muslims.
Yeah.
There may be a problem with extremism. There may be a problem with terrorism. Yes, we have to deal with that. But Muslims are not the problem. And the fact that we don't demand that of our candidate, or that the Republican Party and the Republican base doesn't demand that of their candidates and allows them to be the front runner and allow things like that to be said in front of them, I mean, I can't vote for anybody.
You know what's interesting? Okay, so I went to a workshop that was sponsored by the FBI. So they invited leaders, like specific leaders from churches and mosques and stuff. So they invited me and the imam. So we went, and it was very interesting. Like, law enforcement has the toughest job, and it's always in the back of their mind. And this is also not a good thing, that they see everyone as someone who could potentially harm them. Like, I remember we were going through an exercise, and they were kind of showing us just a routine traffic stop. So you be the police officer. So they gave us a little, like, a gun that shoots blanks, and they say, we're going to have an FBI agent. He's going to act like someone who we typically run into. And just asking for someone with... Just ask them for a driver's license. And the first thing you notice, where are their hands? Their hands are going like this. You know, what are they doing? Oh, they're taking their seatbelt off. Okay, but it looked like they were reaching for something. So automatically, your mind is just like you're reaching for your gun. So obviously, they're much more highly trained and stuff, but it did give good insight. One of the things that he mentioned, he talked to me and the imam separately. I actually forgot for a second what I was talking about. But so we just asked him, like, you know, what are the signs that we could look out for? Because, man, like, all hell will break loose within the Muslim leadership if we ever find out that someone within the community, like, we'll go apeshit. Like, we'll go crazy. Just because, like, we're so careful of things already.
Yeah. You mean, so, like, someone that's a terrorist that...
Like, or just someone who has those leanings. You know, if they're not careful with their words, like, we're just, like, I almost feel bad to them. We're, like, looking at everyone. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that's our responsibility.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not something that I don't think we should do. But so I asked him, like, what's the thing that we should look out for? He said, what we found in our experience is that people who end up getting kicked out of a mosque or the ones who just don't get along with anyone, the loners. So I asked him, like, is it anything that you find, like, theologically that those people tend to focus more on? He kind of, like, brushed off. He goes, no, 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 it doesn't have anything to do with that. That actually made me happy. So he was like, no, 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 it doesn't have anything to do with that. It's just, you know, when they get really political and hyper about the things you talk
it
about.
Seems like what he's getting at is that it's a problem. I mean, that's basically what you're saying. It's a problem with that person.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
Not a problem with...
And, oh, and he religion. And he also said if they... He referred multiple times to their mental state.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's somebody was. I think I was listening to. Can we give shout outs?
Yeah, go ahead. Who cares?
I'm gonna give a shout out to hashtag Good Muslim Bad Muslim. They were talking about this. They were talking about. Oh, what the hell was I thinking? They were talking about how. Yeah, whenever there's a shooting, right, like Aurora or, you know, Sandy Hook or whatever, the first thing everybody's asking is, oh, you know, how did this happen? You know, like, we got to find their diary, you know, we got to find out what was going on in their home, what was their mental state, you know, oh, they were seeing a psychiatrist, see, you know, but whenever it's a Muslim, it's like, oh, well, yeah, obviously, you know, he's a Muslim, so that's why he did it, right? Like, nobody ever says, like, oh, yeah, this guy was, like, schizophrenic and, you know, hearing voices and all kinds of weird shit like that, you know? So that's one of the things that we kind of have to deal with this shitty. I don't know if anybody cares. I don't want to sound like I'm complaining, but...
No, it's bullshit, man. It's bullshit. It's just, like, I haven't seen the news... Like, even MSNBC, I haven't, I mean, and they're actually more fair than, like, CNN almost tries to just give every opinion equal weight. Even like, the craziest voices out there, they try to bring them on. You know, there are those, like, right-wing local radio stations of, like, nobodies, and those people freaking, like... They don't know anything. Like, if you show them a map, they won't be able to tell you any country in the Middle East.
That's like the one in Florida. There was one recently somewhere. Flagler County or something like that. There was some local radio talk show host who, picked up on that. There was a candidate for sheriff who posted on Facebook this picture of these Muslims who were praying
in,
like, a park. And that guy picked it up like, these are young military-age Muslims. You know, like doing their like Muslim dance or whatever. You know, we don't know if they're militants. We don't know. Like, well, you don't know if anybody in the world is militant. Why? What does it matter if they're Muslim or if they're doing a Muslim dance? You know. So yeah, I mean, they'll get those guys on CNN. Even is what you're trying to say?
Yeah, yeah. Even those like the random ignoramus who prides himself in his ignorance will be like, I don't know anything about Islam. I learned everything I need to know about Islam on 9/11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it the other day, like the group of people that just hate Muslims. I think that hate and dislike, it was there before 9/11, but it was just for different reasons. It wasn't so much for being a Muslim. Then it was like the whole, just like general, like, most Muslims are convenience store owners. So you had like the Apu character on The Simpsons. Most Muslims
who's not
are
Muslim.
Who is not Muslim, but you know, like that general stereotype. And they would make fun of cab drivers. They would make fun of gas station owners. There was still that kind of general dislike of, oh, these weird people with a different culture than ours. And then when 9/11 happened, it went from that to, oh, these guys are all terrorists.
Yeah.
So I think it's the same kind of people that maybe already had some dislike. And then now it's just kind of
a little pivot. So what's changed and gotten scary about those people is that they've now been granted legitimacy. Like, their crazy fringe opinions, whereas they were ignored at one point, they now have a microphone. They have, like, a national voice on Fox News. Like, they can get, like, any of these guys, they can just say whatever they want. Like, you heard people like, oh, we need to nuke them all.
Yeah.
I don't mean, like, guys on the street with signs. I mean, like actual pundits... You know, on national television saying this. You know, and this always happens during election time. That's why I meant... it's weird. This only happened, like, since Obama got elected. Otherwise, before that, Kerry and Bush and all that, I used to enjoy this election season, all the coverage and stuff. And Obama, the first time when he ran for president, the tone, the anti-Muslim tone was there, but I feel like the lid has just been ripped off and... just exploded, and no one's keeping check on it now. They're not calling it what it is. They're just letting it go on and legitimizing the opinion.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's gotten a lot worse since 9/11, progressively. And especially since, like, the Arab Spring started, and obviously ISIS, came to be. I think it's gotten a lot worse. It's a lot worse now than it was. People can get away with saying those types of things now that they wouldn't have been able to get away with before.
You know what's interesting? Even like liberals like Bill Maher, you know, I feel like after 9/11, he was a bit irresponsible. I remember he had this Arab professor from UCLA or somewhere, Asad Abu Khalil, who he's more like an Arab nationalist than he is like a Muslim. I think he's just an open atheist now, Asad Abu Khalil. But like, he would say stuff to him, and he would kind of try to tie in Palestinians with this larger terrorist movement, whatever, okay? Whatever they are. Now he's just gone off the deep end. Like, there's just no... Like, he doesn't control it. He's, even the little boy, that boy in Dallas, the 14-year-old kid that made the clock, it's just all, you know, like, even suspecting him. You know, he'll tell his guests, look me in the eye and tell me that over the past 30 years, you know, young Muslim men haven't blown shit up, or you said something like that.
Yeah.
Go back to what Anwar said about it getting worse. It's like the weirdest thing after, and we've talked about it off air before, but like the whole, after 9/11, there wasn't that much anti-Muslim sentiment. There wasn't as much, I should say, as there is today. So, like, for example, after 9/11, did you ever hear about a gun range that didn't let in a Muslim?
No.
You didn't hear shit like that.
Yeah.
But now you hear it, like, all the time, like, crazy stuff that's anti-Muslim, and it is getting worse, and it's the weirdest thing. I would expect it after 9/11. If it happened, I'd be like, man, I can't even blame these guys. But now it's like...
I mean, even then... Okay, so, like, I know you're saying you can't blame them, but for like, you know, they're saying, like, the decent, like, well, what's that saying? The better angels of our nature, you know, should compel us that even in the most critical times, like right after 9/11, that we should be the most careful towards this minority group that represents a 1 to 2% of the population. Okay, 1 to 2%, that's how small we are. That's how small and insignificant we are. So you would think
1 to 2% in the U.S.?
In the U.S., yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's it.
All it is?
That's it.
Are you sure about that?
Positive.
Really?
Positive. 1 to 2%, that's all we are.
The Muslim population is like 3 to 6 million in the U.S.
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do some Google research. I'm going to Google that.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, God, please be right. Oh, God, please be right. Do not embarrass me now.
Episode 1.
So, I've heard different ranges. I've actually, like, last time on Wikipedia, I've heard, like, 5 to 8 million.
That doesn't sound right.
That's on the lower side or higher side?
It sounds low.
Sounds low? Okay, let's see.
Well, this is from 2000.
What does it say?
But according to the 2000 U.S. Census, the state with the largest population percentage of Muslims was Michigan.
Yeah.
Which was 1.2%. So basically all other states were less than that. So if you just extend that nationwide, you might be right. 1% might be pretty...
Hallelujah! Or should I say, Allahu Akbar!
hey, we can't say that stuff.
So my point was that we're that insignificant of a community.
Damn,
yet
we're only 1%
so
of the population?
1 to 2%.
Damn, I didn't realize that.
I mean, you know, if you double the percentage, that's still a lot.
So, what is it like? Christianity, like 90%, Judaism, like 8%?
I think there are fewer Jews in the U.S. than there are Muslims.
So they're less than 1%? Really?
I believe. Why don't you look at that statistic?
Okay.
So I was saying that we're that insignificant of a community. Yet there's so much spotlight on us. You know, that when anything goes down, the entire, you know, U.S. Muslim community has to answer.
Well, I mean, spotlight's for a pretty good reason. You got 9/11 and, you know, other stuff.
Right. Okay, so...
Before that nobody gave a shit about
no,
Muslims.
No, that's a good point you bring up. Okay, so we have these... attacks that happened.
Only 6.5 million Jews in the U.S. as of 2012.
Which is what? Same as Muslims?
I think so.
According
to
this, in 2012, demographers estimated the core American Jewish population to be 5.425 million or 1.73% of the population.
So it's about the same.
Yeah, and it's negligible at that point. It's about the same. Interesting.
So with that, you know, that's small. I forgot where I was going with this.
I wonder how many people of Japanese ancestry were in the U.S. during World War II.
Probably even less than that.
Yeah.
Probably a lower percentage, yeah.
You know,
it's easier to gang up on people. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, no.
That small, like, you couldn't make the same generalizations about, you know, people of Mexican ancestry or, you know, Hispanic in general. Which,
that's because you'll lose seats.
Well, yeah, because
they're considered
a
racist.
Yeah.
If you're like anti-black, anti-Mexican, anti-whatever other group,
because
you're a bigot and you're racist.
It's because they're a big minority. It's because we're a small minority they can get away with it.
All Muslims in the U.S. need to move to Texas so we can create a bigger voting bloc.
I'm against that because we've been trying to push Sharia law to this country. No, man. It I
like to talk about a good Muslim, bad Muslim. They're like, we didn't even know what Sharia law was.
Yeah, I thought it was a rapper. Part of the Wu-Tang Clan. The newest member of Wu-Tang Clan. Sharia law.
Yeah, man.
I think they're right on that show, though. It's an interesting show, good Muslim, bad Muslim. It's like, a lot of the stuff, like, you didn't even know about before 9/11. Like, you learn stuff about your religion after, like, something like that happens.
Oh, my God. Do you guys know what taqiyya is?
Yeah, I've heard of the concept. I've only heard of this from Islamophobes. Like,
okay, so
and soccer.
That and the 72
and soccer.
That and the 72.
Okay, hold on.
Like, the biggest line for Islam.
The whole virgin thing, yeah.
Well, hold on. Talk about taqiyya for a second. Do you know what it is? Okay, so my 10th or 11th grade history, U.S. history teacher, okay, after the day after 9/11, passed out this flyer, whatever, to all the students that she printed up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I remember you saying something about that.
Basic facts about Muslims and Islam. Okay, and then she talked about Sharia law. I didn't know like the definite. I heard this word Sharia before. I just didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with jihad. It's like I've heard these words. I just don't know what they are. She taught me what they are. She explained. I was like, I don't think so, man. Like, I don't think I fight. Like, I've never been taught that I need to fight. You know, she's talking about jihad. Then she talked about taqiyya. I was like, taqiyya, you mean pillow?
Yeah, this is taqiyya, it's a pillow.
It is a pillow. Well, if that was the question, I know what taqiyya is.
So,
very familiar.
Okay, so I forgot about it then.
Different types. You got the soft, fluffy ones. You got the stiff ones.
That's true.
Foam. It's all about foam, dude. So, years later, I remember that episode. I was like, wait, let me look up that word. What is it?
So, what is taqiyya?
Okay. So, it's a concept developed by Shias, because Shias were, for a long time, a minority in Sunni lands. So, they developed this concept that says that you can hide certain parts of your identity for survival. So,
okay.
Shias didn't have to admit in front of Sunnis that they were Shia.
By the way, before we get too far into this, shout out to the Shias out there. We have nothing but
love. Oh, absolutely.
Shia brothers.
We're going to do a group hug now.
I'm not trying.
No, I mean, look.
He's just playing his thing, and it's like, yeah, it's the Shia's fault. Like,
No. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm just trying to make it clear.
We love Shias.
We're not trying to make it their fault or anything.
No, it's not. I mean, like, look at it from their perspective. Look at it from their perspective. Like, they're a minority in this volatile region. You know, who knows what it was like back, you know, 1,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, we've always known that there were political tensions between Sunnis and Shias. So they developed this concept to protect themselves, which totally makes sense. They were never in a position to overthrow a government. Just like Muslims, so this concept isn't even, like, Sunnis don't even know about this concept. Like, it has to be taught to them. But even if they did, like, even if someone goes up to a Muslim and harasses them, and to protect themselves, they apply this concept and say, I'm not Muslim. They're just doing it to protect themselves, not to, you know, like, seep into the government and, you know, rise to the top and...
It's about self-preservation and self-protection. Like, that's all it is. It's
that's it.
It's a defense thing, not an offense thing.
So what's your point? Taqiyya, what about it? Good.
Well, I was just saying that, you know, that these concepts that we never even heard of, that these Islamophobes are telling us that... You know,
I got you.
He's practicing taqiyya. I was like, no, I'm not. What is
taqiyya? Wait, hold on, let me Google it.
I don't think.
What the hell you're accusing me of?
I left my pillow
at home. Oh, man.
I didn't cry enough about Muslim stuff.
Yeah.
Too much Muslim stuff.
It's never enough, man. This is like every episode is going to have a few minutes of this.
If anyone from good Muslim, bad Muslim ever listens to this, I want you to know that Anwar really dislikes it every time you pronounce it as
Muslim. Like, I feel like
there's no Z in there.
If you are a Muslim, right?
You should be
Muslim. You know, like, if you are one and you were raised in a Muslim household, like, you know, it's not pronounced. I mean, hey, I have mad respect for your podcast.
I do too, at least through one episode.
And you know, you guys are doing a great job, you know. But if you could just change that one thing, it wouldn't irk me every time I hear the word Muslim. Like, you have to make a conscious effort to say Muslim as a Muslim. You know, I don't know.
Maybe they're just saying it so that the audience could relate to that pronunciation.
I don't think so. I think that's just the way they say
it. Well, because Taz actually says Muslim.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, it's just one of the two?
Yeah. What's the other one's name?
Shit. We can edit this out. I really like them.
Zara.
Yeah, that's right. They're cool, from San Francisco or something. I think they're from LA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think I should try comedy.
Dude, I used to write jokes, man. There was a time, I remember I wanted to write a joke. Or I did, but I don't remember how I wrote it. But it was something about how, like, a male gynecologist is someone who's, like, they're really, really smart, but they're also really, really perverted. So they sat down with you and they're like, I'm really smart, but I'm just so perverted. I gotta do something with this skill.
Hey, it worked on him.
Have you thought about that, though? Whenever I meet a male gynecologist, I have kids, you know.
You think they're like radiologists that like look at mammograms all day, that they're like really smart but really perverted?
Well, no, because
no, that's not the only thing they do.
Unless you, I mean, you're one of those radiologists who, like, you know, does their freaking fellowship in mammograms.
Is that even a guy?
No, but that's also taking the mammograms,
you know? Like, I'm just looking at them, like, take them home for a study.
I'm just imagining, like, this young doctor in med school who's like, I can't control these urges, but I'm really, really smart. I gotta do something. How do I?
It sounds like someone we know, like one of our friends.
I also thought of this joke where, and now that it's out there, like, anybody can steal it because I never did anything with it, but like the comedian goes on stage and talks about his girlfriend. I was like, oh, this girlfriend, we're so in love, everything is going good, I mean, we just know each other inside and out. Sex is amazing. We're just so good together. There's only one thing I don't know about her, and I'm afraid to ask because it's kind of personal. I don't know whether she's a Democrat or Republican. No?
Maybe the whole comedian thing is not something that you should focus on. Maybe stick to the politics.
No, but it's funny because I noticed, like, with white people especially, it's like a really, really private thing. I had coworkers who I was so cool with them.
Yeah,
they would not tell me who they voted for. They said, "No, Saka, that's a personal thing.
Cultural thing in the U.S. I mean, I've always known that. Like, you don't ask people who they voted for.
Yeah.
Just like you don't ask people how much they make. You know,
But how can you really get to know someone if you don't know that? I mean, it tells you a lot about the person.
I mean, it does tell you a lot about it, but does it tell you a lot about it's going to affect your friendship? I mean, if you...
Hell yeah, it's going to affect my friendship. If they vote Republican, then there's a side to
them. You think
they're
a freaking idiot at that point.
No, it's not that they're an idiot.
How could you be so stupid to vote Republican? We can't be friends anymore.
And I guess this is bad. Probably that's why you two are my main friends. And I only met you guys like a couple of years ago. No, but imagine, like, if someone tells me they voted Republican, I'd be like, really? Really?
This dude voted for a few Republicans the way he talks.
I couldn't vote back then, but when I was in high school, I would have voted for Bush.
Oh, same here. Up until 9/11,
I
mean,
would have voted
for
Bush.
Like, a lot of people are, you know, we see the thing that affects us about Republicans, and we're getting back into political, which I don't know if I want to do, but we see the thing about Republicans that we don't like that it affects us, you know what I'm saying? But for, like, you know, a white guy who's a Christian or whatever, you know, like, I mean, it doesn't really...
No, if
that's not the thing that he's focusing on when he thinks about Republicans.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, but
he's focusing on their, you know, whatever, their socialism.
Sure. But that's a huge part of the message that they send out.
I don't think it's that huge. I think we see it as a lot bigger than it is because it affects
us. There could be a whole debate and then like 5 minutes of it talks about Islam and then we focus in on that.
No.
They're talking about the trans, whatever the hell, pipeline. They're talking about taxes. They're talking about all this stuff.
But wait, what did you say about Muslims right there? But in that 5 minutes, there's a way to talk about a group of people and they show... an utter lack of respect.
But it's not just Muslims, it's Mexicans.
Yeah, but
it's
you can be, like, just like you can be a Democrat and you can disagree with some things that certain Democrats say, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can be a Republican and agree with everything they say except for, yeah, that thing was pretty messed up that they said, but
yeah,
aside from that, I agree with what he said.
That's a good point.
And to be fair, there are a lot of Republicans that probably do think that way, I'm assuming. That, oh yeah, I agree with him on the taxes, but this whole, like, anti-Mexican and anti-Muslim thing, I'm not about that. I'm sure there's a lot of Republicans that do things like that.
There definitely are.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it's naive for us to think that there aren't. You know?
No, you can't just like blanket, you know.
The only good Republican. The only good Republican is a Democrat.
Okay. They're going to say something else.
What?
They're going to be like, the only good Republican is a dead Republican or something.
Okay, I was purposely not saying, I was going that direction.
That's not good, ladies and gentlemen.
Lady, yeah, that was Hawker, just to clarify. It was not unaware. It was not.
But you're the one that said it. I didn't say it.
No, I was saying what I thought you were going to say.
But I didn't say it.
But then you repeated it.
No, I did.
Yeah, you repeated it a couple of times. Anyways, that's not what we're saying. There are lots of good Republicans and you don't have to be dead.
And you could be my friend.
Yes.
I would be your friend.
I don't care.
I would not cut off our friendship, but Saka probably wouldn't.
No. Real talk, I wouldn't cut it off, but there would be like a little flicker in my eye. I'd be like, man, are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious? Like whenever I hear, and this is like changing topic, whenever I hear men talk about abortion...
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, like you can have an opinion, but come on, man, do you really care? Do you really? Like, it doesn't affect you in any way. And if you're married, that's a decision that's going to be between you and your wife.
Right.
You know, no one else should have a say in that.
Wait, no, I thought government should have a say in everything. So government shouldn't have a say in abortion.
You're just hearing what you want to say.
Yeah,
what you want to hear, man. You're not hearing what we say.
No, but I agree that there is.
So should the government regulate abortion or not?
No.
It's a private decision.
No. Listen. Okay, there was a movement. Okay, and the Supreme Court stepped in and said that the government was overreaching. The system works.
Okay.
You get it, though, right? The system works.
Above all the system. I'm not a communist. I like the system. But I'm just saying I'm on the other half of that system. Anti-government involvement in personal affairs.
So that's one area where you disagree with Republicans.
Not a Democrats.
He disagrees with Republicans as far as abortion is concerned.
Well,
sounds like, right? You don't think the government should be stopping people from having abortions.
So here's my opinion on abortion.
Oh.
In 30 seconds, my opinion on abortion.
Oh.
I personally... and I'm against it, from
okay.
a personal, my views, our religion, etc.
Good to go.
But, from a government standpoint, I think that it should be allowed. It's a decision that you can make, and it should be left to the individual to make the decision. The government should not outlaw it and say, no, you cannot do it.
So you kind of, I wouldn't say you just, there are probably Republicans who have the same opinion, but... in general, most Republicans are kind of, like, probably would lean more towards the government should not allow abortions.
Yeah.
Most of them, yeah. I think, like, Rand Paul, or there's a few that are more, like, it's a decision, the government shouldn't...
Right. So
which,
yes.
If you're a Republican, it's funny, because they're all about, government should stay out of our lives, blah, 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 get the government out of our lives, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to abortion, they're all about getting up in your life. And,
or if you're gay, you know.
Or if you're gay, whatever, you know.
Or if you're a Muslim.
Some things, it's like, it's okay for them to be intrusive. But other things, like, no, get the government, and they're coming to take our guns, or whatever it is.
Yeah. That's why, sometimes the social conservative side of it kind of conflicts with the fiscally conservative or the government conservative side of it with Republicans. It's like, okay, we can't regulate the world to help, you know, fix climate change, but if you're gay, you know,
so this is actually this is actually why I like Democrats, and I still don't feel comfortable.
If I could just make one quick, the whole thing that you spent on climate change. Did you guys notice in the debates that happened that they made a shift? It was kind of a shift from, oh no, climate change doesn't happen; it's not a thing; it's made up, and they kind of shifted. They pivoted towards. No, it is a thing, it does happen, but even if we had laws in the U.S. and we made all these, you know, anti-pollution stuff, it wouldn't make enough of a difference with the rest of the world's population for us to totally change the way that we're living.
You know, it's
to do
interesting.
It. Did you see that at all?
It's interesting.
I was like, oh, so now you're acknowledging that it is an issue, but you just feel like we can't fix it,
so what
screw
Bush,
it.
What Bush used to do, he would always say, like, you know, something is happening, but we just don't know enough about it. Like, the whole 8 years of his presidency, he would, every other speech that where it was brought up, he would say, we just don't know enough about it. Now, during his administration, we backed out of what was called the Kyoto Protocols, which actually set limits, like global limits. And this was before China became, like, hyper-industrialized. Or this was when it was on, like, the precipice of reaching a point where there's no turning back now for it. But he backed out of it. And now they're saying, well, you know, just because we do it doesn't mean other countries... Well, that's what the goddamn treaty is for. You know? Other countries sign on to it. When they sign on to it, they have to follow the goddamn rules.
Yeah.
that's like a totally a, like what you think like Pepsi and all these companies are going to like get together and try and stop, you know, this is somewhere the governments have to step in, you know. It's a very defeatist attitude, especially considering it, like, you know, the fate of the world rests on this thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, we can't do anything about this. We'll just live our lives the way we want. And
yeah.
We're just the most powerful country in the world, you know, but, you know, no one's going to listen to us, so we'll just keep doing it.
Yeah. I was going to say something about something, but I forgot.
Yeah, I totally cut you off. Sorry about that. I just knew that I would forget.
So I was like, if I forget.
If one of us is going to forget, it's not going to be me.
What other topics do we have?
I literally just wrote Bernie Sanders. That's it. And I was like, yeah, we'll figure it
we
out.
We haven't even talked about Bernie Sanders.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk about Bernie Sanders.
So I think...
Just
as a clarification, this discussion happened after the first Democratic debate.
Is sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails. I was like, yes, I am sick and tired of it. But I still think it's going to screw over in the end.
You disagree with that.
Well, just to the extent, like, okay, as much as what's come out now, as far as I know, nothing has been damaging at all.
Just the fact that she wasn't honest about it, that she hid it or whatever, that's the biggest issue.
No,
nothing other than that.
Even,
really,
I mean, so it becomes a question of integrity when someone implies her intent. So the Republicans are implying that her intent was to purposefully hide emails because it was something, you know, incriminatory in them.
Mm.
Is that the right word?
Mm,
incriminating?
Incriminate, whatever. Incrimination in them.
I'm
so,
pretty sure incrimination is not a word.
Incrimination? Nothing it
is,
right? Isn't
it? It would be incriminating.
Incriminating.
There's
okay. So they implied that there was something incriminating in the emails. Now, millions of emails have come out. They've had all these web crawlers go through them to look for certain keywords. Nothing has come up. Okay, then they need to shut the fuck up. If there's nothing in those goddamn emails, then shut up. Move on. That's what makes me think, like, all this stuff about the Benghazi committees is coming out, that it was politicized to begin with. Absolutely, man. This party has, like, this Republican Party has no shame. Has no shame with these kind of things. They'll abuse government, create these bullshit committees for whatever reason they want. They'll come out later, and what's even more sad is that the people that vote for them won't hold them accountable. That shows you the standard of that party. And the people that vote for them, which makes me, like, so disappointed when I hear someone that voted Republican. Oh, this party is insane. They do all these crazy things, all these abuses of power. And yet you still don't, you know, it just doesn't matter to you.
They just focus on the things that they care about. Like, if you're well off and you're better off with lower taxes, then you're going to vote for the guy that's
so
going to lower
taxes. You know the difference between, like, Republican taxes and Democrat taxes? It's just a 3%. That's it. 3%. All this hoopla for 3%.
Is there really just 3%?
I mean, as far as I know, that's the, you know, Obama's only raised taxes that much. Or, excuse me, he didn't even raise taxes. He just let Bush's tax cuts, which were 10-year tax cuts, expire. And he didn't renew them. Or, sorry, he renewed them for 2 more years when he became president. Then after that, he didn't renew them again. The Republicans, oh, he's raising taxes. He didn't raise taxes. He didn't renew tax cuts, which are not a permanent thing by nature. If they were permanent, then they would not be cuts. They would just be lower tax rates.
Yeah. What about Bernie Sanders, man? Like, I mean, yeah, his whole thing about, like, going after the banks, like, it is ridiculous that, like, not a single banker has gone to prison over the financial crisis.
Yeah.
Like, this was a manufactured crisis.
Well, okay.
They got bailed out. Nobody went to prison.
You know why they didn't go to jail? Okay, and this... I'm not supporting them or anything like that. I'm not, like, sympathizing. But technically, as far as I know, they didn't actually break any laws. Because the laws were designed to allow them to do these kind of things. To take these kind of risks and lose this kind of money and you know, put them in a position where they had to get bailed out. Otherwise, the economy would suffer at a magnitude that's, you know, that's not worth the principle of allowing a business to fail.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about it, but there was some really shady stuff that went on, like, with some of these big investment companies.
Yeah, they had people... man, I wish I knew more about it.
So it was more about...
They were the mortgage-backed securities, and then they were getting insurance. They were getting insurance on the mortgage-backed securities, which they knew were... They got them to give them a higher rating, even though they knew that they were lower, so the insurance would be less... And then when they weren't able to pay, they got more money back. It's like they knew that these mortgage-backed securities are going to fail. They went through the back door to get the rating on these things higher than, like, unnaturally high. You know what I'm saying? And then they kind of bet that they were going to fail by paying insurance premiums, which were lower because they had higher ratings, and then they made money off of that. I mean, that seems like something that's illegal.
Yeah.
Should be illegal.
See, I mean, as far as I know, it wasn't illegal. So there's a thing in economics called a moral hazard, in which, like, it's wrong and that there's something that can bad that can happen. Now, there's a difference between something being a moral hazard and something being illegal, like statutory. You know, like, it was clearly written that you're not allowed to do this, X, Y, and Z, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So as far as I know, they didn't do that. Now, that because, you know, like Bernie Sanders said, Congress doesn't regulate Wall Street. Wall Street regulates Congress. So Wall Street, you know, regulated themselves and made it to where, or influenced Congress, whatever, to write laws that allowed them to do these kind of things. To allow them to commit these kind of moral hazards.
Yeah. So if nothing else, I mean, okay, yeah, you know, they pulled one over on us, you know what I'm saying? But we need somebody in there who's going to get a lot stricter on these people.
Did you hear Hillary's answer to that?
She was saying we have to look at the broader
picture. Well, she said that, but she also goes, now I met with Wall Street back when I was a senator, and I said, you guys need to cut it out. I was like, what? Come on, man. Don't. See, okay,
oh,
stop.
You're Wall Street,
stop.
Guys.
And I think it's because of answers like that or that I wasn't enthusiastic about the debate.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I don't know, not enthusiastic about debates in general. I mean, it's not even a debate. It's just like just repeating talking points.
Yeah. I don't know. My whole takeaway from the debate, and I didn't catch the last part of it, but most of it, Bernie Sanders is really underwhelming, in my opinion. Like, I think he could have done better. So I have serious questions about whether he's electable at this point. I think Hillary came off much better, and she would be more electable.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that. Okay, after the debate, everyone on Facebook and Twitter and all the polling that was done showed, like, you know, Bernie Sanders won the debate by 80%. Like, his ratings were 80%.
Really?
Everyone else was 20 and less, okay? So some of Jim Webb and Lincoln Chafee weren't, like, 1% or less than that. But all the analysts were saying Hillary won that debate.
In my opinion, I think Hillary won it. Well, at least she did better. I'm surprised to hear you say that the reports were that Bernie won and 80% of people thought so.
Yeah.
I mean,
the focus group showed that.
And that's like every focus group.
Sanders, yeah. One.
Yeah,
that's not what everybody's reporting.
I think he could have done better.
Unwear is doing the ceremonious changing of the coals.
Unwear,
more coals, please.
Coming right up.
My wife and my mother won't kill me if I burn the computer. They'll kill me if I burn the floor.
Oh, man.
So we're mainly doing this for ourselves, just because we felt like at the shisha cafes that we go to, we had interesting views and interesting discussions. And it wasn't like we didn't always have the same opinion on things. But each of us was able to articulate a point to where we would understand each other's positions. Right? Do you agree or no?
Yeah.
Except your Steve.
I disagree.
Understand and disagree.
I fundamentally disagree. See, there's an example. We disagree. No, I'm just kidding. I agree.
We can agree to disagree. We don't have to agree on everything.
Well, we don't hate each other.
Pretty boring discussion.
Even though Anik is a closet Republican, I don't hate him. I don't know about soccer.
I'm a closet Republican, but I'll be listening.
It's time for you to come out of the closet.
And
Mom, Dad, if you're listening to this. And you know what that metaphor refers to.
Hey, they were Republicans too until 9/11. Right?
Yeah.
Most Muslims were Republicans.
You know what's weird? Like, whenever the government does something, or even the local government, because my dad owns a convenience store, whenever he, like, any law changes, he always specifically says, I hate it when the government does this.
Yeah.
I hate it when the government does that.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, man, if it wasn't for the Republicans' attitude towards Muslims...
Exactly.
I think majority of Muslims would vote.
My dad always, I'm complaining about things like the capital gains tax, you know, things like that, which are definitely Republican, you know, if they were in power.
It tells you which one of us is rich.
My dad used to...
I don't even know what capital gains means.
My dad used to complain all the time about, like, the second time Bush ran, that the doctors in our community were lobbying for Bush the second time.
Wow.
That's
after the Iraq War and everything.
Because all they care about is taxes.
That's all it
is. That's it.
And, you know, that makes me think about myself. You know, it's like somebody called me out one time
saying, like, you know, the only reason you agree with Democrats is because of this issue of them hating Muslims or whatever, or of Republicans hating Muslims.
As if it's a minor thing.
Yeah. Well, it's something that affects me personally, and then, like, but I mean, there might be some truth to that, you know, maybe that's what kind of made my leanings more progressive. It's like, well, if you guys don't want me, well, these guys are okay with me, and they say this, so that actually makes more sense to me, because they aren't.
Yeah,
you know, they aren't haters. You know what I'm saying?
Although I feel like I've voted Democrat enough times in my youth to where I don't think I'm going to change my mind about gay marriage. Like, I don't think I'm going to change my mind about abortion.
What youth are you talking about, dude? We're the same age.
No. So, like, what?
You weren't old enough to vote when Bush ran the first time.
Second
so
time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
by your youth, you mean Bush's second, and then Obama's first and second.
Yeah, so
okay.
Democrat. So now I've grown up being on a certain side of certain issues. So I don't know what will convince me to go to the other side of those issues.
If someone came out and really liked Muslim peoples.
Honestly, even then, that's just not enough. What the hell's going on here? Wow, my phone is on silent and still.
Don't have Android. I don't have that issue. So those issues.
Nah, don't get me started on Android issues. Android.
Dude, have y'all heard of this app called Waze?
What's
it
called?
Waze's been around for a long
time. Dude, I didn't know about it. So if you don't know, it's like a navigation app. But it has, like, all these cool little features on there.
You can,
like, one of the things
that there's a cop there.
Yeah, if you drive by a cop, you can, like, mark it on there so that other people that drive by know.
Oh, interesting.
But also, like, someone was telling me yesterday that it has, like, an option for voices on there. So, like, for example, the voice could be, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger, or it could be, you know, whatever. Like a bunch. So instead of that, like, girl giving you new directions, it's this person's voice or an accent, like, their voice.
I actually didn't know this Waze was still around. I thought it got bought by Apple. When I was on Android, yeah, I used to use... Actually, no, when I had my old iPhone 4S, that's what I used to use.
Waze?
Yeah, I used to only use Waze, yeah.
Is the actual, like, navigation pretty good?
Yeah, navigation's pretty good. Unless it's gotten worse. It used to be good. Now I just stick to Google.
But you're an Apple guy as well.
I'm not an
Apple. Don't you have an Apple?
I have an iPhone.
And you have a MacBook.
At what point do you become an Apple guy?
when you are like him and you just hate on Android. Like, I mean, I agree that
I hate on Android because I've been scorned. Like, for a good, like, 4 years.
Like, when he brought up Android, you got passionate.
Yeah.
Like, you expressed passionate dislike.
No, I'm also not part of that cult. Or maybe I am now.
I think you are, man. Like, you're
trying
passionately
to
dislike Android.
Oh, okay, so what it is, what goes through my mind is when someone compliments an Android product, is like, dude, don't give me that. You and I know, come on, I was on that side, don't give me that bullshit. It sucks.
I can't do that because there are plenty of people who know a lot more about me, a lot more than me about phones and stuff like that, like... People that I respect and watch, like, reviews, like, have you ever heard of MKBHD?
Dude, I don't know anything about the hardware, whatever, okay?
No, but, I mean, I'm talking about people who use it every day. They use these phones and everything, and they swear by Android. So, I mean, I think it's just maybe the phones that we got or something, you know, were not good or whatever. I had bad experiences with Android myself, but that doesn't mean that it's just... I mean, and I there are merits to it that I can recognize and that are it's better than iPhone for certain things.
So there are some things that are easier to use. I mean, without going into detail, yeah, you're right. There are some things...
Well, the knock on Apple used to always be that they were, like, a year or two behind Android. That they would come out with a new phone with features that Android users have had for a year or two.
Yeah.
Now, I think, at least from what I've heard, that they've caught up
pretty
much.
They've caught up on a lot of those things, yeah.
Where now you can't really say that there's... Pretty comfortable.
My scorn with or is that the right word? My distaste for Android now isn't even about that. It's just basic usability. Like, after 3 months, I had the S5. Now I know for a fact now we're never going to get sponsorship from Samsung. But
you had that hope. You were holding out hope. Yeah, maybe.
You never know.
More calls, please. Brought to you by Samsung. Yeah, you're shooting pretty high, man.
Damn it. Well, whatever. I mean, dude, it would lag. Everything would lag. Facebook would lag. The app on Android, not Facebook itself. You know, And any application.
You want Facebook to be our sponsor, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Facebook is cool. You cannot want. Although I don't think they ever sponsor anyone. Damn it!
I don't think we're doing too good for our sponsorships here. Maybe you could get your dad to sponsor us with this convenience store.
Yeah. Citgo!
You just accused him of being a closet Republican, so I don't know if that's going to go very well either.
Sponsored by Republicans who are idiots.
I don't even want that sponsor. They're not going to... Dude, oh my god. Republicans are not going to sponsor Muslims or anything.
Hey, we'll take the money from anyone. Anyone that wants to sponsor any one of our segments, please email. We don't have an email set up yet, but we will eventually. And when we do, we'll put it on the podcast.
You know, I think website's almost like 90% complete. This is one thing I'm having trouble getting.
Our website?
Yeah.
That's 90% complete?
I mean, there isn't much to it.
I'm not even going to put the website in the podcast.
I mean, there's like pictures of some goals on there.
No, no, so
are you talking about a picture of you smoking?
No, that's the old one.
So I'm trying to put a picture on the background. Like, the last thing I'm trying to do is put a picture in the background. But for someone who, you know, WordPress is easy to use. It really is. But I'm having trouble putting a background, like, behind the post. It says that there's a background image.
Now, y'all can see this on the podcast, but I'm holding up the phone with the website right now. This is 90% done?
I don't get that.
Where's the one you showed me that had the coals, the picture of the coals on it? I was like, this podcast is about us. We used to hang out at shisha cafes.
I don't know why the
more. Literally, I'm looking at the title, More Coals, Please, and then four sections. Recent posts, What's the Point, Archives, and October 2015.
Go, What's the Point?
Yeah, click on that.
Okay. If you click on What's the Point, as my Android slowly pulls up
the webpage. Your words, not mine.
What's the point of the podcast? On the weekends, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you changed your name to Team.
Yeah.
Thanks, Saga. Appreciate that.
Somebody with that on a cow.
Okay. Yeah, I stand corrected. There are pictures of coals.
Very advanced.
Somewhere on the page.
Hey, man, that's a lot of coding. You gotta know CSS and whatever.
More coals.
Pretty sure that was like copy paste. Coals. Sure.
You burn kind of hot, man.
No, but the only... I'm just trying to put a background
fewer
image.
Coals.
It's Dennis.
Hmm?
Was that a Game of Thrones reference?
No.
Oh.
Taco got excited for a second.
No, because you said...
Y'all can't see the reaction on his face.
Remember, it's outside of Game of Thrones.
No, because like Stannis did that twice where somebody said, you know, less thing for us to worry about, and he goes, fewer. Like, he did that twice.
Really? They had that in Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, Davos had his fingers cut off, and he's like, I have four less fingers for me to worry about. Stannis goes, fewer. And he's the one that cut off his fingers.
That's cold blood.
Yeah. Let's talk about Game of Thrones, guys.
When is it coming out? The new one.
Can we not? What are you talking about? There's like so much material.
Yeah, that's like a philosophical question. Like, is it possible for us to not talk about Game of Thrones?
It's possible for y'all not to talk about it.
The references will be coming out throughout the show.
Yes, Game of Thrones.
Hey, it's October. Winter is coming.
Yes. Yes, it comes every year. It'll last.
But not in Game of Thrones.
50 million years.
When is the new show season coming out?
I think like April, like first week of April, something like that.
Only 6 more months to go.
Damn it!
Well, if you talk about it, you're gonna reveal some stuff to these people, man. Because you know all the secrets. You look at all the blogs where people watch.
Well, no, I'm not.
But he was wrong last time. He thought he knew what the ending was, and it wasn't
This is
real stuff. That's like,
I go on these fan
websites.
There's
a credibility issue because he thought he knew last time.
So. Pictures don't lie.
Okay.
Pictures don't lie.
Well, actually, sometimes they do.
Like when? Like in Game of Thrones?
Are you serious, or you aren't aware of?
No. Like
a program called Photoshop.
No, dude, I'm talking about these fan websites. Like there's people taking pictures with their phones.
Right. So you've never seen the doctored picture that looks convincing?
Yeah, I have. But I'm saying I'm saying these aren't.
How do you know?
Well, because it's like multiple.
It was a picture that convinced you. You knew what was going to happen in the last episode of the last season,
which
where like his eyes were open or something like that, or they were like warped or whatever. They're all white.
Warped.
And you thought that. But then it turns out that might have been photoshopped or something.
That's true. I did think that, but...
Okay. So the same thing you used to make your Incorrect...
No. Those are different websites.
I gotcha.
Fuck you guys. No, it matters, because if they're, like, credible fan theory websites, or, you know...
So you're saying that you were taking theories from non-credible...
Well, I didn't know, like,
so now
I didn't
you
know there were good ones. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm comfortable with that.
Now there are some good ones. Okay,
yeah,
so...
If I just... If
sounds
only
like
I cared a little bit more.
It's good. It's the
only
one
I gave
stuff.
A damn.
If you knew who Jon Snow's mother was, you would care.
I'm not sure that you know who Jon Snow's mother was.
You told me who you think his mother is, so, and that makes sense based on my reading of it.
Yeah, so, I mean... So, this is not, like, a spoiler or anything, so I'm gonna say it. Okay? If you
is
read
this
the
first
book,
upcoming season?
No.
Okay.
Although they're going to film a scene similar to it.
This is not a spoiler, as I throw a spoiler out there. Don't spoil it for us or for the listeners.
Okay, so I'm not going to... Okay.
Although it might be an incorrect spoiler, but still.
So, if you read the first book, which came out 20 years ago, so I think we're past that spoilery grace period. I think 20 years. I give people a 90-day grace period. If you haven't, you know, then you lost that right. I get so sick of people saying, you know, oh, you haven't seen... I haven't seen Lost. Don't tell me what happens. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you now.
Nah.
And that was a stupid show. Game of Thrones is better than Lost. No, so, the story is that... I'm not even going to get, like, detail. I'm sure it's going to bore you. I'm not worried about the audience.
Thank you for sparing
about
this.
You guys. But you're talking about Jon Snow's mother. So, yes, I have a credible theory.
Don't you talk about Jon Snow's mother. Sorry. The story said that was...
Somebody said that?
No, that was you.
Oh.
That was my impression of you.
That's the way it came off.
You were talking about Jon Snow's mother.
No,
I said something about Jon
Snow. If you
mother.
Knew who his mother was, then you would care about the show.
Oh.
I know who I'm not inviting to the series, you know, series premiere.
Whatever. We will be here watching the show and then having
Jon
a podcast.
Snow comes over. This is my mother. That's not your mother. That's a man, baby.
So since it is a shisha show, are we going to discuss shisha at any point?
I haven't passed this for a while, man. It's burning kind of hot, so forgive me.
Forgive me.
So shisha?
So any tips for our listeners that want to make a really good shisha at home?
Yeah,
okay.
Describe how you leave that space in the sun.
I just kind of like, I pack it in there, and I put my finger over the middle hole in the bowl. And you know, pack
can we not
it.
Try to explain it in a way that lends itself to way, way, way too easy?
All
light years ahead of where I was going.
All you have to say is finger, and Aniko would be like,
fine. Go on with your finger.
You said finger, and
okay,
then you said finger, and then you said bowl, and Aniko lost it.
There are. Let's see. When there's a bowl in which you place tobacco for shisha. Within that bowl, there are passageways through which air may flow.
Mm-hmm.
Air.
flow. Sorry. All right, so you're telling us how you put
the tobacco. So I pack the tobacco in such a way that the air is allowed to flow through the center hole, and the tobacco is covering the remaining holes. And then also I put the foil on there, and I put, instead of a smaller number of large coals...
Sorry, no.
It is burning hot, man. I put a bunch of small holes. That's it. That's pretty much my
favorite. Every time I smoke, I always cough once. It seems like I never smoked in my life.
I don't know.
So general tips that I learned from Unwer, when you put the tobacco in the thing, you want to mix it all together. If you leave it all separately, it doesn't quite smoke as good. So put it in there, mix it up a little bit.
If you have different flavors.
And then just leave it around the edges, leave the hole in the middle open for the air to go. And then your other thing is what, a lot of small holes on the foil?
Yeah, instead of like large holes, a bunch of small.
And then look for leaks or listen for leaks.
Yeah.
If it's not smoking good, you don't get a lot of smoke, it's probably because there's a leak somewhere, like with my shisha.
I think it's a lot of leaks.
So let's talk brands. So we almost exclusively smoke Starbuzz. And I feel like, aside from a few El Fakhr flavors, there's like no competition. Like El Fakhr came out with that premium blend, And I feel like all those are good, especially sweet pomegranate. That's my favorite.
To be honest, I don't even look at the brand between Starbuzz and
Alani. Yeah, I don't think it makes a difference.
I just go for the flavor.
There's different types, different variety of flavors that come with Starbuzz that Alfajor doesn't really have. I mean, until they got the premium ones. But if you just stick with the basic flavors that Alfajor has, I mean, they're good quality. I mean, you get like watermelon, mint, grape, whatever.
I feel like if you got that same flavor in Starbuzz,
I don't think they have just a straight up like just watermelon or just.
No, they do, but it's.
I've never seen it.
No, I've seen it.
All
the
flavors
are
like, you know.
Like one of my favorite flavors.
69, Blue Mist.
Those are more popular ones, the ones that are named after drinks. But like one of my favorite flavors that I haven't smoked in a while is guava. I could clearly taste the difference between Starbuzz and a fucker guava.
Really?
Yeah, I could clearly.
You know, there is one that I can tell the difference. I forgot the name of the flavor, but it's the orange one. Like with one of the two Starbuzz or a fucker, it's like Tangerine Dream.
Yeah, Tangerine.
And with the other one, it's something else. That one, there's a little bit different, but it's just, you know, they're not a big difference. But what are we smoking today, Sakam? Are you going to share the flavors?
Yeah, so Sultan Cafe is a shisha restaurant in San Antonio.
Who is not sponsoring us.
Oh, they
yeah. But we just gave them a plug.
Yes. So they have a blend called Southern Hospitality, which I believe is a mix of watermelon, peach, and mint, I think.
And the one flavor that we have a consensus on is probably the best flavor to go with if you're looking to try something is geisha, watermelon, and mint. So if you haven't tried it, hands down, in all of our opinion, I think, definitely the flavor to go with.
Most consistent, good flavor.
Smokes good, great taste. For whatever reason, it just doesn't get to a point where it's not smoking good. You'll be there for 2-3 hours smoking, and it'll still be going good.
How do you feel like the podcast is going so far, Anik?
I mean, other than the fact that it's being recorded, I mean, we're still talking about everything that we normally talk about anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, for me, it's just stuff we do anyways. It just happens to be on a podcast.
That's not the point.
Hopefully it doesn't suck too bad to where someone decides they want to listen to it.
Yeah, I would be surprised if people listen to it, but that's cool if they do.
If we get like 10 listeners, I think we'll be happy with that.
Just like our own circle of friends. I don't
think 10 people who we did not already know that we did not force to listen to it.
I would be surprised if we got 10 people.
Definitely.
I don't know who the hell will listen to our show, honestly. Like, who is our demographic?
I don't think we have a demographic. Whoever is willing to download our podcast, that's our demographic.
It's mostly going to be our friends and family.
Somebody that like is okay with listening to a podcast that's kind of a little bit interesting. And
we're like the Seinfeld podcast.
I was just thinking that.
We're just talking about nothing, just random stuff that's going on at the time. We should rename our podcast the Seinfeld of Podcasts.
In principle, I agree, but then to compare it with Seinfeld is kind of like. I mean, come on, Seinfeld?
I mean, you gotta compare it to something. Well, then
when we get 7 million viewers a night, then we're Seinfeld.
When
then
we get
Seinfeld.
7 viewers a night, I will be happy with that. Although I did just set the bar at 10, so lowering it to 7 is kind of lowering expectations already. Let's stick with 10. I think 10 is a good, nice round number. If we get 10 people to listen to the show that we do not know, are not our friends, and we did not force to listen to the show, I'll be fine with that.
Like, I know I'm definitely going to tell my wife to subscribe. And then I myself am definitely going to subscribe.
That's two. I will. I don't know if I can convince my wife to, so that's three.
Three?
Four.
I don't know if I'll subscribe.
I'm You're not going to subscribe to your own fucking podcast? Oh my God.
So two, three, four.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Four.
He for said
sure.
No. We're still at three.
We'll probably subscribe.
All right, touch the
upload. Oh, I mean,
what about Luna? What about
my
Luna?
My wife will probably subscribe.
Make Luna listen to it.
Luna Cat.
Luna and what's her face?
Buddy.
Buddy.
His face.
Face.
Jeez. He's very sensitive.
How's Buddy doing? By the way, but, these are Unworth cats. How's Buddy doing? Did his skin grow
back? I only let him out of the backyard. I only let him outside beyond that. And there was a stray cat in the backyard that
beat Buddy's ass.
tore him up a little bit, but not
too
bad. While
Luna sat by and watched the whole thing.
Watching, yeah, she...
That's the thing about cats. You would never have that problem with dogs.
Yeah, that's true.
One dog would not sit there and watch his buddy get beat up and tore up.
Probably not.
Yeah, Luna just sat there like, buddy, you should have known better.
And Luna is the better fighter of the two, too. She's smaller, but she's a much better
fighter.
She takes Buddy out all the time when they wrestle. She stood by and watched.
Is there such a thing as, like, cockfighting between with cats?
I don't think you can make cats do anything.
Yeah.
So no.
I just imagine that people getting all hyped up, throwing money, and the cats are just saying, meow.
Like
come on.
Anybody got time for this shit?
Yeah. So Buddy's doing fine now. That was a little while back.
His fur and everything.
Oh yeah, he's back completely. You can't even tell. No. He doesn't even seem traumatized. The only difference is now when I let him out of the backyard, he used to roam around a lot, and he does that a little bit now, but somehow he kind of sticks to that one corner where this incident happened. It's like he's trying to, like, he's hoping that cat will come back so he gets another chance.
Really?
Himself to me.
Once was not enough.
He
wants to get his ass kicked again.
I think he feels like he can do better. You know? I think he feels like he can do better. I told him, I was like, man, it doesn't matter.
There was another mountain lion sighting in our neighborhood, by the way.
What's that?
There was another mountain lion sighting.
Another. That's comforting.
Now, every time we go out to check our mail, and by we, I mean my wife, every time she goes out to check the mail, she's always, like, looking around, like, paranoid, looking for a...
Oh, your wife is on mail duty?
Well... It's self-assigned mail duty.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. My thing is, there's nothing important that ever comes in the mail.
So you never need to check it?
No, you need to check it, but like once a week,
every 2 weeks,
that's fine. My wife is an everyday mail checker. Like a compulsive, everyday, Monday through Saturday, gotta check the mail.
If you let it go a week, even though a lot of it is junk, there's just a whole bunch of stuff in there.
But now you're checking junk every single day when you could just go through it once a week and do trash, and throw it all away. Why would you go out of your way every single day? My wife doesn't listen to this podcast. I don't think that's a concern.
All right, so we're back down to three people.
No, I never counted her. It was
you,
your wife,
okay.
Me, and Unworth's wife.
And Luna, so that's five.
And Luna, maybe Buddy. If you throw in some cat self-defense tips, maybe we can get Buddy. Have y'all heard about the whole Lamar Odom thing?
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know he had that kind of drug problem.
Who's Lamar Odom?
So Lamar Odom is a basketball player, but he was also like a reality person with the Kardashians, right?
He was married to the Chloe.
The one that was at Amazon.
And he was on the show?
He was on the show.
Wait, Amazon?
She is an Amazon. Like, she's a large woman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said she worked for Amazon. I was like, oh, really?
No, she is an Amazon. Well, was an Amazon.
Wait, that's not like a derogatory term, is it?
Do you think it sounds like a compliment to call someone an Amazon?
No, but I mean like is that a slur or something?
Not a slur, but it's like a very large woman, probably obese.
And that's probably going to get edited out.
What? Amazon is not a derogatory term.
Did you just say it was?
No. Derogatory in
so
what sense?
It's
not like a racial slur or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But if, like, you're calling Republicans idiots, that's derogatory.
No, no. Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Is it
sexist? That's what you're getting.
No, because it's not something against women.
Okay, now, can that term be applied to
something against fat
can't,
women?
Okay.
It better not be edited out. If you edit it out, I'm going to bring it up in every single podcast and make you edit it out over and over until you're tired of it.
No, okay, can that word be applied to men?
No, it can't.
You know, it typically is not.
It's not.
But, I mean, I guess it could, but it's typically not. It's typically applied to, like, very
little. You can say anything to a man. I mean, it doesn't mean it has to make sense.
I just learned a new word. When you said Amazon, I was like, well, she worked at Amazon.
So Lamar Odom.
Oh yeah, Lamar.
Who's that guy?
So
I don't know.
Here's what happened. I'll give you a brief synopsis. So he's a basketball player. He left
and
the
he's a pretty good basketball
player. He was a
player.
Very good basketball player. He met Khloe Kardashian after like a couple of days of knowing each other. They got married. So like a real quick marriage. Yeah. Then they got separated. He had some, like, past drug issues or whatever. He's gone through a lot in his personal life. Like, he's had close people in his family that passed away, all within a short span of time. Friend, his daughter, I think his mother. I mean, there's a couple of people that passed away, right? So he is in a coma right now because he apparently, like, overdosed on something. Some sort of
some,
or something.
Some herbal Viagra.
Something that was spiked, possibly, but he was also doing cocaine. And he was caught at a brothel with two women. He paid, like, $75,000 at this brothel. So the discussion now is, as soon as he went into coma, his estranged wife, Khloe Kardashian, shows up. And there's a quote where she's, like, by his bedside, like, "You know I love you, all right?" And when he came out of his coma and he heard her say that, he was, like, nodding his head. So the whole discussion is, you got all these people that are coming out now saying, "Oh, Lamar Odom, he's such a good guy, blah, blah, blah." But it's because he was in a coma. He's not necessarily a good guy because he's done a lot of bad stuff. So the debate or the discussion is, should Khloe still be, like, supporting him?
Well,
me and my wife had this debate yesterday as well. Apparently, a lot of people out there feel like, yeah, like, she should always stand by him. And just because he did some bad stuff doesn't mean that she shouldn't, you
know. So it looks like those bad things he did were not, like, those weren't, that's, I mean, what am I trying to say? That's not the real him. Like, he was in it going through a downward spiral, and
oh
guess...
Oh my God, you're my wife right now. You're my wife from our discussion last night.
No, it's like, so, I mean, so when a person is going through a downward spiral, I guess those things kind of, you know, come with it. And
okay.
I guess, well, when they come out of it, then for their sake, you kind of, like, let them know that, hey, those things are in the past. That's not who you really are. You know, does that make sense?
But he's been doing it for a while now.
But you said, like, a lot of things happened to him.
Yeah, but I mean, you're talking about, like, years and years of doing it. It's not like it just happened and it was a couple of months and now...
Yeah, I mean, depression is, like, years in the making. Like, the effects of it, you know, unless he himself chooses, you know, therapy or rehab or whatever he's supposed to go through, then it's like, you know, like, if there's no one there to help him... So it looks like he's hit rock bottom. So this is when he, like, needs people.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So it's... I guess...
That's part of the way that she's looking at
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not so much about, you know, his...
But you can't say he's a good person.
Well,
like, okay, yeah, he went through a lot of stuff, and he turned to drugs. Okay. But now you can't come out and be like, oh, but he's a really good person. Blah.
Yeah, 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 you can. I mean, you know people who are good people, they just did some bad things. You know, some illegal things, whatever. But it's like, you know, to console this person, you tell them... That's not who you really are, you know? And so, you hit rock bottom now, get out of this. You know, leave those
so
things.
So, if you were married to someone, they turned to drugs, they cheated on you, they got caught at a brothel doing drugs with two escorts, and now they're in a coma, you would show up to their bedside the next day and tell them that you love them.
So there are a lot of, like, hypotheticals in that, okay?
Well, that's exactly what happened.
No, I understand, right? So... If you just knew the person for a few days, I'd be like, look, you got to take care of your things, man. I can't be part of this. But if you're married to that person, and you see that, like, you can kind of see...
But she only knew him for a few days.
No, it was like a few months.
They got married after, like, barely, like, dating for a couple of weeks. Okay,
no, it was
like,
a few months, which is still not a lot. But, I mean, when you are married, you know the person even better when you're living with them. I mean, we don't know, like, their personal side, you know. But when you see a human being who's fallen, like, you help them get up, and, you know, it doesn't help them by telling them, I'm just helping you, man, I'm not part of your shit, whatever, you know, you gotta take care of your own stuff. It is when you, if you really want to help that person, you go all in and then help them get over that part of their past by not reminding them of it, or by telling them that they're a good person,
yeah,
and that they're better than the sins that they've committed.
I guess. But, I mean, if you watch the show at all, like, she tried to do that. He stuck by him for a while, like, trying to get him to get out of it, trying to get him to get away from that crazy stuff.
And that's something
and
he needs, right?
Didn't get away from it.
Uh-huh. So...
At what point do you cut your losses and...
I think that's a decision for her to make.
Right. No, but you said at what point did she cut her losses? They separated.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a divorce yet, but they separated.
Right. So at that point, she decided to, I'm out of this. But now she sees that this guy needs someone.
Yeah.
So who better than...
I mean, I think it's just like, you know, maybe she's still going to be separated from him, you know what I'm saying? But, like, she... Look at it from this point of view. And I know nothing about any of these people that you're talking about. So I'll just throw that out there first. But, I mean, she sees a person that she knows well and she obviously cares about, who's done a lot of crappy things to her personally, and she's tried to help and he's failed.
what, but I mean, she still cares about this person. Like, what benefit does it do to just, like, you know, now he's in his darkest hour?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to continue to just kick him to the curb.
Yeah.
I think because she has feelings for him, she cares about him, she wants to help him. You know, so,
you know,
I mean, it's not necessarily she wants to get back together and she thinks he's a great life partner, but, like, you know,
I think
he's hit rock bottom. I know him, I care about him, I want to help him.
I'm okay with that, and personally, I'm all about second chances. You know, you make mistakes, stuff happens, you should give people second chances, okay. What I think, I guess I take issue with is, like, everyone that is coming out now and talking about how great of a person he is and blah, 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 all of that. Like, that to me is different. Like, it's almost like you're just saying that now because he's in a coma and you're just ignoring, like, all of the bad stuff he did.
Yeah.
Like, if people came out and they're like, you know, he's not the best person, he's done a lot of bad stuff, let's give him a second chance, he deserves... That would be different. But people just like, oh, he's a great person, and he was a great teammate, and he blah, blah, blah. That to me is kind of like, all right,
well,
now you're just like downplaying
just
all the bad
supported.
Stuff that
no,
he did.
They're just being supportive.
To me, it would be more supportive to be like, hey, man, you're an idiot.
Yeah, that's
the
like
stuff
in
that
person.
You did is
no, no,
absolutely
no.
retarded. Like, look at the shit you did, and look where you are now.
Yeah,
you
so
need to get your shit together.
That type of intervention conversation is not like a public thing. That's like a private thing. So in public, I think it's good people are being supportive. Now, his closest friends, the Kardashian, his wife, then they need to, okay, once all that's done, hey, now in private.
Yeah.
This is real talk. So, but considering the state he's in, I would bet that he gets it now.
I would hope so.
I hope so.
Alright, I just don't feel like the court of public opinion really matters in this
in fact,
state.
So,
like, what does it matter if people say he's a good person, a bad person, like...
It's just for him. It's just to support him. But even then, that's a scary thing, man. The court of public opinion is almost like all that matters now. You can be, you know, found innocent by the court of law, but the court of public opinion just
ruins your
life.
But in this case, I don't know. I just, maybe it's because I don't know the people, but I can't find the gumption to, like, care. I mean, what people are saying about him or about her, I mean, it's really just between them, and if she wants to help him out, then... You know, I'm all for that. I mean, obviously the dude needs help, so somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. What?
We're done with Omar Odom. Anik has given us the sign. Like that Dave Chappelle, like, what is it, that little button they have?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Move along or whatever. Like, okay,
applause.
Now.
Applause.
Yeah.
So
we need one of those buttons. Next topic. Next topic.
Okay.
Next topic.
I think we talked enough for the first episode. We're already almost like 1 hour in.
That's it?
Can you believe it?
I thought we were like an hour and a half in.
Oh, well, let's see. 20 minutes of that.
I think that would be pretty decent without cutting anything out other than this last part about
is that
me
even
talking
recording?
About cutting it out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't even think you need to do that much editing. Just.
No, I think what it is in parts out make it shorter.
Minutes.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not so bad.
1 hour and 15?
We can bring that down to like 40 minutes, take a little bit out.
I think if we do less than that, I think it would be better.
Yeah, I mean, half an hour, I think, is what we should shoot for.
Yeah.
What do you think? You're listening to our podcast right now. Is this too long, too short? You know, are we meandering a little bit too much? Are we sticking to one topic for too long? Is it too much politics, too much not politics, too much Muslim or whatever you want to call it? Email us on our non-existent and let us know.
Text Thakib at... Send your thoughts to Thakib's private inbox at...
Yeah.
More coal, please.
So what should our sign-off be?
More coals, please?
Yeah, we should all three say it at the same time. So let's... Okay, so... whenever we get time, we'll make another episode. Until then, let's at the count of three, let's all say more calls, please.
I'm
ready?
I'm going to voice my dissent before we do it. I'm voicing my dissent. Okay.
Okay, but we're still going to do it this
time. I'm going to do it.
One, two, three.
More
calls,
please.